All right. So I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to talk about the seismology of rapidly rotating stars. So as many of you are aware, a large proportion of massive and intermediate mass stars are rapid rotators. And this can best be seen by this histogram, which shows the projected equatorial velocities of a whole bunch of stars as a function of their spectral type. And as you can see, for stars earlier than F5, you get velocities which can go up to several hundred kilometers per second. The same is also true for pulsating stars. So on the left-hand side, you have an HR diagram where I've color-coded different classes of pulsating main sequence stars. And on the right side, you've got histograms, which are color-coordinated with the HR diagram. So you can see that for these different classes of pulsating stars, you can go up to several hundred kilometers per second. But of course, rotation introduces a number of challenges. In terms of stellar structure, a first effect of rotation is centrifugal deformation, as you can see, for instance, in this interferometric reconstruction of Echernach. Then you have gravity darting, which was mentioned yesterday in the talk about stellar winds. And you can see this in this interferometric reconstruction of Altair. So the equator is dimmer than the poles. Now, rotating stars are baroclinic. In other words, lines of constant pressure, density, and temperature do not coincide. This means that you'll have baroclinic flows inside of these stars, namely differential rotation and meridional circulation. This will then induce a certain number of instabilities and turbulence and mixing and modify the evolution of these stars. In terms of stellar pulsations, the pulsation modes of these stars are no longer described by a single spherical harmonic. And so, of course, it means it's more complicated to calculate them. Also, it means that currently we don't have a way of automatically classifying these modes. You can't just simply count nodes along a one-dimensional function. The frequencies of these pulsating stars do not follow simple frequency patterns. So for the acoustic modes, you have a superposition of independent subspectra, each with their own patterns, and all this is mixed together. For G modes, as we have seen in the previous talk, you have a period spacing which varies as a function of period. And so it means that it's difficult to identify observed modes. In other words, it's difficult to find the correct matching between the modes which are observed in these stars and the modes which you calculate theoretically. And then finally, this is not specific to a rotation, but it does tend to affect these stars, is that they're classic pulsators. In other words, they saturate in a nonlinear way, so we don't currently know how to predict their amplitudes. Okay. So in today's talk, I'm first going to talk about how to calculate pulsation modes in rapidly rotating stars. And then afterwards, I'm going to talk about various things which you can do to try to carry out seismology in these stars. And then, if there's time, I'll conclude with a brief example on Alpha Ophiuchi and a brief conclusion. So, I've found in the literature about four different ways of trying to model the effects of rotation on stellar pulsations. So, for a long time, the perturbative approach has been used. In the perturbative approach, the effects of rotation are treated as a power series in terms of the rotation rate. And so you start with a non-rotating solution and then progressively add corrections which account for rotation. And so, for example, Sayer went up to second order and then Sufi et al. Went up to third order. And I've never seen anyone go beyond that. Of course, as you can imagine, this approach is going to be limited to rotation rates which are not too rapid. Then you have the traditional approximation in which you neglect the horizontal component of the rotation vector. And the advantage of doing this is that your system of equations becomes separable, so you can describe the horizontal dependence independently of the, or nearly independently of the radial dependence. And this has typically been used for low frequency modes, because you also have to neglect the centrifugal deformation when you apply this approach. Then you have the two-dimensional approach, which in principle works for arbitrary rotation rates. Of course, the price to pay for this approach is that it's much more demanding numerically, and there's a number of other complications. And then finally, this last method doesn't calculate modes per se, but gives a lot of insight onto the physics of modes, and that's ray dynamics and mode characteristics. In what follows, I'm just going to focus on the two-dimensional approach. So the pulsation equations in the adiabatic case are as follows. So you have the continuity equation, which expresses conservation of mass, then Poisson's equation, Euler's equation. Now this blue term intervenes because the star is baroclinic. It's not barotropic, so it doesn't cancel out. And then finally, the adiabatic relation, which in fact neglects energy exchanges during the oscillations. But if you want to be more realistic, then you need to take these energy exchanges into account. So then you have to solve a different set of equations, namely the non-adiabatic equations. So the first three equations are the same, but then you have the energy conservation equation and an equation for the radiative flux, and then you have perturbed versions of the equation of state and opacities and nuclear reaction rates, but I won't take that into account in what follows. In terms of the numerical implementation, once you have those equations, then you need to write them out explicitly in terms of a coordinate system which follows the shape of the star, as illustrated in this diagram. Then these equations need to be projected onto the spherical harmonic basis before being discretized in the radial direction. And in some of the calculations I'll be showing you, I'm using a spectral method based on Chebyshev polynomials. In terms of numerical resources, it can take up a lot of memory, also a fair amount of time, so it's nothing like 1D calculations. In terms of accuracy, some of the non-adiabatic calculations I'll be showing later on reach a typical precision of 10 to the minus 4, relative precision of 10 to the minus 4. And then for the excitation or damping rates, it's a much smaller precision just because the imaginary part of the frequency, so the excitation or damping rate, is much smaller than the frequency itself.
Is that relative, Daniel?
Hmm? It's the relative.
Units, or is it relative?
It's relative, yeah. So now I'll talk about seismology. So one of the first and most obvious things to do when doing seismology is to search for frequency patterns. And so as we have just seen in Ihsan's talk, you can look for period spacings in rapidly rotating G-pulsators, so typically gamma dwarf stars. So on the left-hand side, you have some theoretical predictions from Wazeny et al., which shows period spacings for different rotation rates and for different azimuthal orders, hence the two plots. And of course, these little wiggles are due to mu gradients. I won't say much more because Ihsan gave a good description of this. And of course, then it qualitatively agrees with observations, and there's still plenty more work to be done on the topic. So now I'll move on to acoustic modes. And so a few years ago, I showed that's the rapid rotating equivalent to the large frequency separation scales with the mean density, even at rapid rotation rates. And so you can see this by this continuous line in the plot. The two other lines show what happens if you calculate the volume of the star using either the polar or the equatorial radius, which of course does not give you the true volume of the star. Okay. And work by Antonio Garcia Hernandez and collaborators have shown, first of all, he's shown how to extract what seems to be a large frequency separation. So he's done this with the Fourier transform of the pulsation spectra. And then in a recent paper, he's looked at various binary systems in which one of the components is a delta Scuti star. And so he had independent estimates of the mean densities, and then he was able to compare that to the large frequency separation he extracted in this method. And he showed that there is a rough agreement, the scaling relationship is roughly followed. But in spite of these advances, in identifying individual modes still remains a challenge. And so in this plot, you have dark, thick symbols which represent observed pulsation frequencies in alpha Ophiuchi. And then the smaller symbols underneath are theoretical frequencies. And of course, you have to bear in mind that if you tweak your model just a little bit, then you'll shift all these theoretical frequencies around. So the question is, which one of these theoretical frequencies corresponds to the observed frequencies? And so to try to answer this question,